Chapter 48. They made their way down to the valley floor, Sam in the lead with Remy cradled in his arms and Rivera trailing behind. They found a small clearing in the approximate center of the bowl, and Sam laid Remy down. Rivera sat down on a fallen log at the edge of the clearing. His gun never wavering from Sam's chest, Rivera lifted his shirt up. On the left side of his abdomen was a black, softball-sized bruise. "That looks painful," Sam said.
"It's just a bruise."
Sam knelt beside Remy. He lifted the bandana on her thigh. The bleeding had slowed to a trickle. He whispered,
"Rivera's bleeding internally."
Through clenched teeth, Remy asked,
"How bad?"
"I'm not sure."
"Stall until he keels over dead."
"I'll try."
"Stop your whispering," Rivera barked. "Move away from her."
Sam complied.
"Tell me your theory about the entrance."
Sam hesitated. Rivera pointed the gun at Remy. "It's based on the illustrations," Sam said. "Chikamostok is always a cavern with seven smaller caves around it, like a flower. The cavern is beneath a mountain. The drawings vary, but the big details are the same, including the location of the entrance."
"At the bottom," Rivera said.
"Right. But if I'm right, and this is the place, it means the exterior shape of the island was as important to them as the interior."
"How could they have gotten an overhead view of it?"
"They didn't. They sailed around it and mapped it. As small as this island is, it would have been easy to do it accurately."
"Go on."
"If you're looking at the illustration face-on as a two-dimensional image, the entrance to Chikamostok is down. If you look at it from overhead, and they oriented themselves on the four cardinal directions like most cultures do, then the entrance lies to the south." Rivera considered this, then nodded slowly.
"Good. Now go find it. You've got 4 hours. If you don't find it by then, I'll kill you both."
Rivera made the ground rules clear. Sam would search for the entrance while he, Rivera, guarded Remy. Rivera would call Sam's name at random intervals. If Sam didn't answer within 10 seconds, Rivera would shoot Remy again. As he and Remy had done on Pulau Lagundi, Sam made do with what was at hand, a sturdy 6-foot-long stick and patience. Facing what he thought was due south, he started up the caldera slope, prodding ahead of him with the stick. The first pass to the top took him 20 minutes. On the rim, he sidestepped to the right and started back down the slope. He felt ridiculous. Though his method was sound and still used in certain cases, the gravity of where he was, what he was searching for, and the clock that was ticking on Remy's life blended together, giving him a nagging sense of helplessness. The afternoon wore on. In 20-minute intervals, he hiked up the slope, then down the slope. Up, down, repeating until he'd made 6 passes, then 8, then 10. Shortly before 5 o'clock, with the sun dropping toward the eastern horizon, he was picking his way through a particularly dense cluster of trees when he stopped to catch his breath. Initially, the sound was just a faint hiss. Sam held his breath and strained to pin down the location. It seemed to be all around him.
"Fargo!"
Rivera hollered.
"Here!"
Sam called back.
"You have 30 more minutes.
Sam picked his way 10 feet farther down the slope. He paused. The hissing had faded slightly. He stepped 10 feet to the left, listened again. Louder now. He repeated his test, box-stepping up and down the hillside until he found himself standing before a bulge in the slope. He poked the bulge with his stick. The tip disappeared. His heart thumped in his chest. He dropped to his knees and shoved his head into the opening. The hissing doubled in volume.
"Waves,"
he whispered. He pulled back, dug into his pocket, found his penlight. He clicked it, but nothing happened. Come on. He unscrewed the bottom and dumped the batteries on the ground and used his shirt to dry each one in turn. He reassembled the flashlight and clicked the button. He was rewarded with a bright beam. He stuck his head back into the opening and shined the light around. A 3-foot-wide, smooth-walled shaft descended diagonally into the slope. At the edge of Sam's flashlight beam, the tunnel curved right into darkness.
Fargo!
Sam pulled his head out.
Here! 25 minutes left.
He had a decision to make. With no idea where this tunnel led and without proper gear, he could easily find himself beyond earshot of Rivera, or worse still, he would hear Rivera's check-in call but be unable to answer it within the allotted 10 seconds. He had no doubt that either of these circumstances would lead to Remy being shot again. He's going to kill us anyway, Sam said to himself. Roll the dice. Feet first, Sam wriggled into the opening and started downward. He hadn't gotten 10 feet when Rivera shouted,
Fargo!
Sam scrambled back up the chute and stuck his head into the light.
Here!
He checked his watch. 19 minutes. He backed into the chute and let himself slide, breaking with his toes and palms until he reached the bend where he had to curl his body to navigate the angle. The chute steepened, continued for 10 feet, then suddenly widened out. Sam felt his legs dangling free. He clawed at the walls, trying to arrest his slide, but gravity took over. He slipped from the chute and started falling.